BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Friday's podcast. More unlucky Gary dating disasters. Last time we heard from Gary, a sneaky member of the public had conned him out of a 500 euro note. This time it's all about dating. He's had two really bad dates in the last 2 weeks. Danny Howard plays Real or No Real. Chris's new favourite TV show featuring young farmers, and in particular a girl who's obsessed with cows. She loves them. And we've annoyed some Radio 4 listeners. And this is Scott Mills. How's it going, all right? Let me take this call. Hello?
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 Yeah, fella.
Fella.
All right, fella. All right, mate.
You all right?
Who's that?
That's Ash.
Ash, what are you saying?
Well, I've got a tip for your selfie stick.
Oh, yeah. So these selfie sticks have arrived today. Mine's pink, which is great. And it's like an extendable thing. Massive in Asia. Big everywhere apart from here. It's just a stick, which I can extend like this, and then take a picture from afar. Selfie like that.
But the problem is, the camera's really far away from you, and we can't work out how to actually take the picture.
It's a slight problem. What are you saying, Ash?
Well, if you're like me and you've got the generic fruit-based like smartphone,
sure,
if you will, you've got if you plug the headphones in and run them down the stick, and you can use your microphone button to take the photo.
Oh, it's a nerdy answer. It's
total geek.
But you're probably right.
Did you work that out yourself, Ash, or did someone tell you?
Well, I'm an engineer, you know.
Right,
of course, yeah.
So I'm simply winding the headphone lead down the selfie stick, and then I can take a picture by how?
By pressing the middle of your microphone button.
There you go, nice and simple.
Ash, I can't be bothered. Why is it...
Really?
Well, no, but, like, why is it not got a... I haven't got
Scott,
a timer on my phone.
He's not customer services for the
sorry,
stick.
I do apologise.
He's just called up to try help.
Sorry, Ash, thank you very much for your help.
That's all right, mate.
Your call was important to me.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Chris, have you listened to Feedback on BBC Radio 4 lately?
No, what's that?
Do you know what it is? It's a show where you can give your feedback on various BBC programmes.
What? So, what do you mean? So you can ring up and complain?
Not always complain. Some people say
praise.
Some very nice things about some of the broadcasts all over the BBC.
Oh, this is amazing. So there's a show where people can just ring in and like praise things they like and complain about things they don't. And that's a show.
It is. And that's what... See, that's another great thing about the BBC. Don't laugh.
No,
it's actually good.
Okay.
Rude. They're not happy with us, though.
Oh, so someone's complained.
This was on last week. Listen to this on Feedback on Radio 4.
Hello.
Hello.
As Tony Hancock might have said, has Radio 4 gone stark raving mad?
I'm not sure what's going on with the iPlayer version of the news quiz this evening. It sounds like they're in a rave.
Right, so a slight problem on the iPlayer. When you went to listen to several Radio 4 programmes, it was... the stream of our show a couple of Fridays ago when I was playing all my Big Friday remixes.
Oh.
So you put on Book It Bedtime on Radio 4, not Book It Bedtime.
And it doesn't sound like they're keen on it.
I'll let this continue.
I try to get Book It Bedtime.
Nella climbs the spiral staircase until she reaches a long corridor at the end of which...
When it came up, the sound recording was music in inverted commas.
Definitely music, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they don't like it.
Was there any praise for the mix-up?
Well, let's listen.
Hello, my name's Tracy Wenham. I tried to listen to the number one ladies detective agency, but instead I got the Scott Mills Show from Radio 1.
It's not really for them, you know?
Right.
Can we hear a bit of the number one ladies detective agency? Because it sounds quite good. Is it a play? Oh, awesome. So... you got me playing like some ravey remix on a Friday instead of this when you put on iPlayer, hoping to hear the number one ladies detective agency.
When she reached Francistown, some kind people let her live in the back of their yard with this little baby brother of hers. And she lived there for 4 years until she was about 12.
Yeah, so.
And you were playing the Seamus Hadji version of Sam Smith.
I was playing the Zoo Station remix of Katy Perry.
Yeah, the Y Boys mix of the Vamps.
Yeah. They're not keen. But hey, it sounds quite good though, that play, doesn't it? I've got the best of both worlds here. Just mix them together. Here we go.
Bass!
Are you pleased with these new clothes?
Oh, they are very fine, Rat. I am very happy. I have never had a dress like this.
And you, young man, are you pleased with those new shoes?
Oh, my brother is very pleased, Rat.
Actually, that's quite a good idea for an Air 4. Any play, just bung a bit of Skrillex underneath it.
I quite like that they must have heard the show now, though. Maybe they're keen. Maybe that's the...
I mean, I'm hoping more people subscribe to the podcast as a result.
Yes.
This is the track of the day from Jamie XX. So Jamie XX made that track when he was on tour with the XX. And he was inspired to make it because he was missing life in London and was just like listening to music and watching videos that reminded him of home. That is track of the day. It's out now. Jamie X. All Under One Roof, raving. It's a mix, really, on the text. Obviously, that's not for some people.
Is it for Radio 4, would you think?
I don't know. Actually, a lot of people are saying maybe mix that with the number one Ladies Detective Agency play that was on Radio 4. Let's give that a go.
When she reached Francistown, some kind people let her live in the back of their yard with this little baby brother of hers.
Yeah, it's quite good, actually.
And she lived there for 4 years until she was about 12.
Kind of works.
When she reached Francistown.
Oh, all right, that's enough. Also, some people are saying, did you tamper with the BBC iPlayer and make Book at Bedtime and also the play, the number one Ladies Detective Agency, make it play your show? Yeah, it's the kind of thing we would do. As if I would know how to do that.
It's a great idea, though.
And it is quite good. But we don't have the access to tamper with the iPlayer. Imagine if we did.
Do we not? Do we?
Well, do we? No, I don't think we do. I think they keep that under lock and key, really. Was that one of the songs that you made when you were 17? Someone's just said.
Oh, harsh. Hang on.
Oh, come on, the Jamie XX track.
Can I just check something then? So if you wanted to listen to this show, did you get the Book at Bedtime?
No, I don't think so. I think you got this show as normal.
Right.
But we do apologise to any, maybe, I don't know, your mum, dad, granddad, that do normally listen to Book at Bedtime or the plays on Radio 4. Maybe if they heard our show by mistake while trying to get the plays... Let us know what they thought of the show, please. 81199.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Right, we've got someone on after the mix-up on the iPlayer between us and Radio 4. All the Radio 4 listeners were getting me playing Boom Boom Dance Music from a couple of weeks ago.
Or music.
In inverted commas. Someone's on that listens to Radio 4 but also likes Radio 1.
Whoa.
And our show because it says, it's great light entertainment for the shallower moments in my day.
What a lovely way to put it.
I think, can we put that on, you know when you put your TV on and it normally says Scott entertains the nation? I think it should be for the shallower moments in your day.
It's a bit like when our boss had to describe innuendo bingo to a lot of BBC chiefs.
Yes, that was good.
And probably it was as if he was explaining it to a Radio 4 typical audience.
Well, I think you have to, really, don't you?
Because obviously innuendo bingo is really silly and it's a hard one to explain because of how rude it is.
I've just found it.
You play a clip of some radio which has a double entendre in it. It's not very sophisticated, but it's funny.
Yes.
And what they do is they try and listen to these without laughing, with water in their mouths. And obviously when they do laugh, the water comes out and fun and games ensues.
Yes, Ben!
Huge!
Very well explained, though. You know what I mean? If you've never heard it. Right, in a minute, we're going to speak to Matt Lewis, great actor. He's got a huge number of fans. He was in Bluestone 4-2 in The Syndicate. And, of course, he was Neville Atchell Longbottom of Harry Potter. He's going to be joining us on Monday at our 10-minute Edinburgh slot at the festival. So this show will come from the Edinburgh Festival Monday, 1 till 4. Then we're doing some weird in-conversation thing where Chris interviews me, fully booked.
Think Piers Morgan's life stories.
Sure. And then in the evening, we've got a 10-minute slot on Phil and Alice's show. Now, there is a lot of Matt Lewis fan fiction out there. I'm going to speak to him in a minute and explain exactly what's going on, because I don't think he's that aware.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Matthew Lewis.
Hello.
Good to speak to you. Now, your appearance on Innuendo Bingo has had the most views out of any we have ever done. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's pretty incredible.
What is it, something like 1.5 million?
It is something like that, yeah. And then,
actually,
yeah, weirdly, it got tweeted by a guy called George Takei.
Oh, yeah.
Off of Star Trek, who seems to be a...
Did he actually watch it?
Yeah. He retweeted it, and that's when it went mad. Was he on The Jungle as well? He was on I'm a Celebrity.
Possibly. But he's got millions of Twitter followers, millions of Facebook fans. I wasn't quite aware of this, but he seems to be a massive fan of yours.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So yeah. He's going to love this.
So
I'm still not entirely sure what we're up to yet. I'm quite intrigued by this.
Do you want to know?
Yeah, I'd like to, yeah.
It would be good, wouldn't it? Because it's happening on Monday in Edinburgh. We are delighted that you have agreed to be part of our 10-minute slot on the Phil and Alice show on the comedy night on Monday.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question? Do you read any fan fiction online about yourself?
No. I've over the years managed to steer clear of that. It's an interesting world,
isn't it? Because you can make up whatever you want about the character or about you.
Yeah.
It is quite cool, though, that so many people like you that much that they're writing stories about you. Some of them quite racy.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's very humbling. You know, our fans are really brilliant and stuff like that, and they really, really get behind it. But yeah, as you say, some of the more racy ones, I'm a little concerned about. This could be interesting.
So we have found some amazing fan fiction. And we're going to reenact it at the Edinburgh Festival.
Wow. Why is he laughing? I can hear it.
I don't know.
Away.
It's going to be fun though, Matt. You trust me, right?
Oh, yeah, completely.
It's going to be good.
What's weird about this is you've very much been working on this on your own and with the production team here.
Sure.
I've been left out of this as well, Matt.
Okay.
And I'm still not 100% sure why, but it's probably because it's going to involve me doing something embarrassing.
No, we need to put on a show in Edinburgh, right? And we're allowed to be a little bit closer to the edge because it's
more
late
risky.
At night. A little bit blue.
We've actually very, very interesting.
Pardon?
This could be very, very, very interesting.
I think so. But I'm glad that you're up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a good laugh.
I had a great time last time, I was on the show. I didn't really know what to expect then either.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll just come and we'll wing it. It should be good.
Oh, it'll definitely be drier than when you were last here.
Yeah.
That's one positive.
Oh, that's good to know.
But we really enjoyed having you on the show before, and we can't wait to see you on Monday in Edinburgh. So thank you for being part of it.
Not at all. I'm looking forward to it, sort of, ominously.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea of what might be happening, we've actually, we played this yesterday, we found some fan fiction about Chris here and the interview that he did with Mila Kunis, which went viral, mate.
Yeah, I know it.
So listen to this. This is what one fan wrote about Mila Kunis and Chris here.
Hey, Mila. Wait up, Mila. Chris tried to catch up to Mila. Oh, hey, Chris. Nice interview, by the way. Nice and awkward at that. Hee-hee-hee, she giggled. So, I was wondering, want to take up my offer to go to the pub, he asked. How about we get a burrito instead, she asked. Oh. I'm in the mood for Mexican. So they went to Chipotle and had three burritos each, maybe overdoing it. They didn't think so. And so they got a hotel room because they mutually love burritos with all of their hearts. And then they had it off.
I mean, I'm hoping Monday's going to be slightly more poetic.
Did you write that, Scott?
No, I didn't. It was written by someone called Ginger Tips.
Oh, obviously, of course it was.
Who has three burritos and has it off? No one.
The famous author, Ginger Tips, obviously.
Ginger Tips.
Tips, with a P.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, what did you think I said?
I don't know. Anyway, so we'll see you on Monday, but that's the kind of vibe we're going for if you enjoyed that one by Ginger Tips.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm actually a big fan of hers anyway. So,
I know. I've got all her books.
some of mine.
Oh, this is going to be wicked.
Right, we will see you in Edinburgh at the festival on Monday.
I'll see you there.
See you there. The Scott Mills Daily. Right, what are you saying about this TV show?
Okay, so I've got my new favourite TV show. It's called First Time Farmers. And it was on last night. I sort of stumbled across it by accident. It's on Channel 4.
Did you, though? Or was it on the series link?
No, it wasn't on the series link. I was flicking through, saw First Time Farmers, kind of intrigued, and then got well into it.
What is it about you and young farmers?
I don't know. I think I'm fascinated by this whole subculture that I didn't know existed. There's thousands of young people all over the UK who are young farmers.
Yeah, and you DJ for all of them.
And just farmers, and I'm slowly DJing for all of them.
And what do they like about you so much?
I don't know. I don't get it.
All your gigs are young farmers' gigs.
So you know what I think it is? It's a mutual appreciation. I'm doing one tonight.
Are you?
So they do these massive shows, go on like a couple of days. So the Burwarton show is on today.
Yeah.
They're doing all sorts, milking cows, slinging hay, all this kind of stuff. Then I turn up in the evening and DJ. But I think, do you know what I think it is? The mutual appreciation. Because I think they like how much I like farmers.
Right.
And for me, I really would love to be a farmer. It's my calling.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago where I wanted to be a farmer and then I realised it was quite hard?
Yeah, you'd be an awful farmer.
I would be rubbish.
But I think I'd actually be all right. This show last night was a little bit like... they were trying to film it a bit like Made in Chelsea.
All right.
Or The Only Way is Essex. As in, quite nice sort of floaty shots every now and then.
Is it a drama then?
No, so it's all... It's less...
Fly on the wall documentary.
Yeah. But shot in the same ways at times, like Made in... You know where they do really nice camera work?
At times.
But some of the characters are great. So it's all about young farmers. And this one girl I found absolutely incredible. She's a girl called Katie.
Right.
And she's just obsessed with cows. Like, she loves being a farmer, loves cows. But so much so that when she goes on a night out with her mates, all her chat-up lines and all her sort of drunken banter is all about cows.
Just because I'm a top cow farrier, we are milking 500 cows 3 times a day.
Nominated for British Cow Farrier of the Year.
No way! How many calves do you lost in a year?
1.2%.
I've lost none!
I'm
very passionate.
Right, so that's her on a night out. She's had a couple of drinks, and then she is shouting in the street about cows.
About cows and how many cows she's reared and stuff like that. It's just amazing alternative bants.
How old is she? Like 23, 24?
I think like 20s, something like that. But her mum is a great character as well. She's really worried about Kate's obsession with cows.
I'm slightly concerned about Kate's obsession with cows.
Yes.
I was sort of hoping that she... as she got into it, got more experience, that she might actually think, well, this isn't for me, this is just too much like hard work. But it didn't work out like that at all.
Well, her mum is worried.
She's a little bit like... The mum's a little bit like Binky's mum. That's who I'd like to compare the situation to ever so slightly. But less cheating, more about cows.
Yeah, OK. And even Kate is quite open to talk about her obsession.
I literally woke up one morning, decided I want to be a farmer and milk cows. I think it's an obsession. Everything I see, it's got to be cow print. My slippers, my socks. That's how much I love them, and they mean to me, I suppose.
I'm fascinated by the show. I think it's because it's an entirely different world to one that I've grown up in.
It really is.
And it's fascinating seeing all the drama. And then there was one lad who had to sell... he had to do this hog roast and try sell as much as he could. It's all the dramas of the young farmers.
I love it. And what's it called?
It's First Time Farmers on Channel 4. And then I put one tweet out about it, and all these farmers were on.
Yeah.
It's you need to see it. You'll love it.
Well, it is their kind of Made in Chelsea, isn't it?
It is. It's a new one of those. I think it could be great.
I'm a top calf rearer!
All right, Kate.
I do love a bit of Scott.
Joe Cole.
Shambles. I don't know about it. I'm still unsure.
Yeah, you frown at me like my dad sometimes when I do that.
I just think I'm all for a tiny bit of brass, but the level to which you expose the nation to is just... It's too much.
Cheryl loves it. She says so on Greg's show.
I do love a bit of Scott.
Mm. Well, fine. Do you know who does love it? I don't care what you think, because Davina McCall likes it. Davina left me a message on my phone yesterday. Listen.
Hello, it's Davina. I'm just calling up because every time I hear that song, I can't stop laughing. And I just keep thinking that your saxophone noise is going to come into it. It's just so funny. Oh, my God. Anyway, I hope you're well. Love you. Bye.
Yes.
Did you ask her to leave that?
No, I did not.
It sounds a little... What a random message to send. To say.
She obviously just heard it and was like, oh, got to ring Scott.
And that honestly happened?
Yeah, that does
happen.
That's
crazy.
Why is that crazy?
No, I just love the idea of Davina McCall casually calling you up. Love the brass.
Love it. Love the brass, darling. Yeah, she often does. Just to comment on things, you know. Does that not happen to you?
No, absolutely not. No.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
So much love from the young farmers today, aren't there?
Yeah.
Hello, young farmers. All listening. On their tractors and whatnot. Andrew Hall, hello. it's got a hoofer. Someone just answered his phone at the where he works by saying their phone number.
I really hope he hooed them as well. Right, as soon as they did it.
Well, it's like, hello, Wembley 42222. Saying your phone number when you answer the phone, lol. Also, John Paul's been on. Someone just pulled him over and asked him for directions.
Why is that a hoot?
It is, though.
That's not a hoot.
The last time that happened to you, excuse me, do you know the way to? Come on. It's on your phone, mate. No one asks for directions anymore. Oh, tourists do. Not very often. Right, coming up in the next half hour, Gary McFly, my friend Unlucky Gary, has been unlucky again, in love this time. Do you remember when he got kettled that time?
He did, yeah. Was it a student protest?
Student protest. Just went for a nice day out around London and was there about 5 hours. Not heard from him for a while, but it's good to have him back on. My friend Unlucky Gary. Everyone, every friend set has, like, an unlucky person in it, and Gary is my one. Let's not forget the time when the homeless man on the street asked Gary for directions and then fell on him, dragging him to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was... Hang on, he's just sent me the list.
He's been in incredibly lucky situations that have turned unlucky, like that time with Jay-Z and Beyonce. I mean, what an incredible position to be in. But only him could almost offend Beyonce.
Yeah, he did the international hand signal for, do you want a drink, to Beyonce? Do you want a drink? At an after party that I took him to. It's Beyonce. If she wants a drink, she'll get a drink.
He managed to sneak into the Radio 1 Christmas party one year and throw up over Pete Tong's bowling lane.
That's true. He just sent me the list. Oh, yeah. Went for a day out sightseeing in London and got kettled in a sealed-off area for 5 hours during the student protest. There's some new ones on here. Bird pooed on me before CD UK. I think he'd been to a showing of, you know, remember CD UK?
I think he was scammed out of 500 euros as well recently.
That's
wasn't
true,
that the
last
one?
Most recently got conned out of 500 euro note by a sneaky member of the public. Here he is. It's Unlucky Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hi there.
Gary's one of my best mates. Just doesn't have much luck.
I can only assume something very unlucky's happened again.
Two things.
Yeah, and they both revolve around dating, don't they?
Yeah, I'm not having much luck.
Okay, so tell me the first story.
Okay, so I went on a date with a boy, and the date was fine. And then I was moving flat, like, about a week later.
Yeah.
And he ended up buying me a microwave after the third date.
Of course.
For the new place. So it arrived at my work, just this microwave.
But why?
And then, I've no idea. It's very random, but sweet.
It's sweet. It's too random. No, stop there.
Yeah.
So you must have been talking on your date about microwaves.
No, he just sort of said, he just knew I didn't have a microwave. So
how did he know that? You must have talked about it on the first date.
It might have come up that I didn't have a microwave.
Oh, good chat.
And if you're going to buy me one, I prefer a 900 watt.
No, it wasn't 900, it's 800.
Oh, that's rubbish.
That's where it went wrong.
Can you set the scene a little bit? So where did you go on your date?
We went to Brighton.
Okay, and was it a nice restaurant, or...?
Yeah, it was okay. We sat on the beach and things like that. Went
into
the bar.
Sat on the beach, talked about microwaves.
Yeah, as you do.
So, I mean, you've not seen him for a while now, no?
No, it's been about a month now.
Not keen?
Well, no, on the second date, I wasn't really keen.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, they brought me this microwave. And now I feel bad, do I give it back or keep it? It's a good microwave.
Good. Has he been on asking for it back?
At first he was sort of a bit annoyed. When I think he realised I wasn't keen, he was like, well, you can give that back as well. But then he sort of changed his mind and said, oh, it was a gift, so you can keep it.
Mm. I'm sorry, after a first date, it's far too soon to be buying white goods. It's weird. Like, it's one date and he's got you a microwave.
I know.
But imagine if you carried on seeing him, what you'd get by the fifth date.
Oh, my God, you'd be dishwashers.
I think it's a great gimmick of his. Go on a date, give a microwave. I've never heard of that happening before.
I just think it's a bit soon.
So it turned up at your work, this microwave. Was it beautifully wrapped and had a nice note with it? Or
no, just to Gary McFly.
It's so weird. And what did your colleagues say?
They was like, oh, are you moving in? They just didn't know what I had a microwave at work. And it was at work for quite a while because it was quite hard to get home. So
yeah, because normally, like, if someone sends flowers or something like that, it's quite nice because you display them. Like, I'm one of those that will send flowers to my girlfriend just to let everyone know that she's in a happy relationship. Sort of puts a stamp on it.
Will you really?
Of course. Why else would you buy flowers? Pointless.
No, they're not. Girls like flowers. So the only reason that you send flowers to your girlfriend is to put other people off.
Yeah, just a gentle reminder.
Oh, my God.
Send her a microwave.
Get her a microwave.
But that's what I can't imagine, is, like, you know the flowers, everyone can see them, everyone will comment on them, you look good out of it. A microwave just sat on your desk is a really odd look.
Yeah, it was weird.
So it's in your house now and you don't know what to do. Do you feel bad that you've kind of accepted it?
Well, every time I look at it, I feel quite bad. And if I use it as well, I feel quite bad. But might just take it as a gift.
And every time it goes ping, it reminds you, hey, do they still go ping? It reminds you of your first date. So what does he do? Does he send it back or not? I don't know.
It's a tricky one, that. It's a tricky one. So are you still in contact with this person?
No, never.
I think it's yours then, Gary, really.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the debate how long you have on these kind of things, because I think after a couple of weeks, I think it's yours.
Yeah.
You know, it's
a
bit like if you've been seeing someone and you move some stuff in, unless you get it out of there within 2 weeks, I think it's theirs from there on in. You know, coats, T-shirts, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can all learn from this. On a date, don't mention anything that you have missing in your kitchen.
Oh, no. Or do.
Or do.
Do you know what I mean? Free microwave. Amazing.
My hob is just not working right now. Gary's been on another date as well last night, wasn't it?
Yes, I had another date yesterday. These are the only two I've had in, like, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And
6 weeks?
So,
okay, yeah.
So we were in a bar, and he just randomly said, oh, do you have any party tricks? So I couldn't think of any, and I said, oh, what are your party tricks? And he was like, oh, I can bark like any breed of dog.
That's normal.
Right.
But then he started barking like a chihuahua. In the middle of the bar, and everyone were, like, looking round. There was even a dog in there that kept kind of looking over at him doing this. It's just very strange. I didn't know what to say.
And how many breeds of dog did he demonstrate?
Just two. He said he had to hear the dog first before he could do it.
Now, did you then go and see him for a date, or what happened from there on in?
I've not heard from him today, so...
Oh. Well, you swapped numbers with him. He barked like a dog and you swap numbers.
Yes.
Gary, the people you meet are amazing.
They are. There's always a story.
I don't think you're unlucky, though, in this situation. I'm finding it hard to work out if you're unlucky or just it's your poor judgment.
You've got a bloke who gives you a microwave and a bloke that can bark like any breed of dog.
Catches.
See, it's positive.
Yeah, some people... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's not unlucky if you think about it.
True.
You got any more dates planned, Gary?
No, not at the moment. I think I might have a break.
Have a break, yeah.
Have a break, yeah.
Enjoy your microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one were you keener on, the microwave buyer or the dog barker?
The dog barker, I preferred.
I'd love you to go out with the dog barker.
So would I.
It would be great. Great in the pub.
He did really sound like a dog.
Let us come out if you see him again.
Okay.
Speak to you soon, Gary.
Speak to you later.
Love you, bye.
BBC Radio 1.
Daily. And lucky Gary's just been texted by his dad saying, just heard you on the radio, I hope you're all right. And then he barks at me like a dog, Dad.
Do you want to briefly explain why he's called Gary McFly?
Oh yeah, some people are like, why is his surname McFly? Because about 4 or 5 years ago on this show, he hated his surname, which was...
I don't think there was anything wrong with it myself, but he...
was Bint. So he... changed it. Well, the listeners decided that he should change it to McFly, and he's never looked back.
And he got it properly changed.
Yeah, it's on all his bank cards. Well, that is his name. It's by deed poll. So thank you to you there, the Radio 1 listeners. Josh has been on from Leeds saying, I'm just wondering if anyone else is feeling the same as me. Recently, I've lived in fear of saying something old or things that don't happen as much in case I am publicly hooed. I.e., I was talking about renting an actual DVD, and a teenager hooed me in the petrol station just yesterday. I now have to think about absolutely everything I say.
The Scott Mills Daily.
You seen the video for Inuinabingo yesterday yet?
I haven't yet.
It's a good one. Tiger Drew's honey's laugh. Tiger Drew's honey's laugh is funny.
Mm.
He's actually really nice, isn't he?
He's a good bloke, and he got proper soaked with it, and then just walked out.
Yeah, no change of clothes. I mean, it was a proper walk of shame as he walked out. Looked like he'd done a little poo.
What? No, he didn't.
Did a little
he
bit.
He didn't, though. He just looked really soaked. What do you...
Just the way he was walking, like...
Well, why is he drenched, then?
Isn't it?
Oh, right.
If you want to see the video of Innuendo Bingo from yesterday with Tiger Drew Honey, it's on the Radio 1 YouTube right now. Go to our YouTubes, type in Radio 1, Tiger Drew Honey, Innuendo Bingo. And while you're there, if you've got a bit of spare time over the weekend, loads of people do this now, all the other videos from all the other Innuendo Bingos are there as well. It's so much better when you watch it. Ariana Grande, Iggy Azalea, and the 86 remix of Problem. That's it. That's the one that was playing on the Book at Bedtime iPlayer thing.
Oh, the one that annoyed the Radio 4 listeners.
If you missed this earlier, people listening to Radio 4 were trying to listen to the iPlayer for Book at Bedtime and they got our show instead.
Hello. As Tony Hancock might have said, has Radio 4 gone stark raving mad?
That's it.
I'm not sure what's going on with the iPlayer version of the news quiz this evening. It sounds like they're in a rave.
That's the tune we were playing at the time. And not keen on Radio 4. What's the other guy said? It was music
in inverted commas. Yeah.
So sorry to all the people on, trying to listen to Book at Bedtime and also that play on Radio 4 and getting my Friday rave tunes instead.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hi, Danny Howard.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Yeah, good. Last time I saw you, we were quibbling over a bill.
No, we were. You didn't leave a tip.
I did leave a tip.
I left the tip.
That's tricky.
Oh, did you say don't leave a tip?
I said don't leave a tip. Oh, right. They've had us both there, haven't they?
They did.
Had us both. I went for dinner with Danny at the weekend.
Oh, don't bring this up.
So am I misunderstanding this? You didn't leave a tip, Scott?
No, I did leave a tip. Oh, and I said to him, don't leave a tip because I have. Then he misheard
me. But then he left. And I was like, did he leave a tip? We better make sure we
had that
tip.
Away.
Yeah.
Now, can you confirm or deny this from yesterday's Real or No Real, please?
Radio 1's Lord of the Dance, Danny Howard, once claimed he wouldn't go out with anyone who liked to eat bread and oil as a starter.
He's quite fussy about his foods. Didn't you say
he is?
He's not keen on the fish.
Imagine my surprise when he sent his dinner back, not once, not twice, but three times at a restaurant in Ibiza, only on Sunday night. Now, that is true.
That's true.
I do need to stick up for Danny there. They didn't get it right, did they?
They didn't. In the menu, it said scrambled eggs. And I thought, well, what else is it going to be, apart from eggs?
Yeah.
And they brought it out and it had mushrooms, which I can deal with, and prawns. Now, I don't eat fish.
No.
So
this is nemesis fish.
Couldn't do it.
So when you send it back, so you had to send it back three times?
Well, no.
They come back with just one less prawn.
I sent it back and I think they picked the prawns out. But then I had steak and asked for it well done from the north and they brought it rare.
They went, in fact, when you said well done, you could see the woman going...
Yeah.
This is
saying. You think you are well done?
Dangerously close to DJs complaining.
It is a little
bit. It's like when you go to a proper. You know, when you go to a proper ice cream parlor and they hand make the ice cream and you ask for bits and sauce?
Yeah.
They look at you in the same way when you ask for it well done. That actually happens.
Bits and
sauce. It does, Chris.
Now, is it true that you did once maybe break up with somebody because of the bread thing?
I didn't break up with someone because they had the bread and the oil. Right. I quite like it with the balsamic as well.
Well, so you do now because you moved to that London.
Yeah, I don't eat sushi yet, though.
Not yet. No. Keep it Blackpool. Right, so let's play today's Real or No Real with Danny Howard, who's just jetted in, especially for Ibiza. He's got your dance anthems tomorrow from 4 o'clock. Is this Real or No Real?
Jason Statham once appeared in a 90s pop video in his pants while painted silver from head to toe.
Well, you've all got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Wasn't it Jason Statham who also competed at the Commonwealth Games?
Yes, it was.
And that was real, as
previous
a diver.
Previous fact, yeah.
I think I was on that one as well. He appears quite a lot in Real or No Real, just Jason Statham.
Mm.
So that's the thing. This could be real. He's a man of surprising talents.
You can't imagine it. Hard man Jason Statham.
I was just
going to
say
pants.
That. He's got his image to keep up, hasn't he? His reputation to keep intact.
So real or no real?
I think this is going to be real.
Yeah, I think it's going to be real as well.
You've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
You do.
That one is real.
Whoa. Yeah. It was for Erasure. Run to the Sun in the 90s. And talking of 90s, there's nothing more 90s than this next Real or No Real fact.
When Chris Evans and Jerry Halliwell were dating, Chris once told Jerry he was breaking up with her because she had installed a fax machine at his house too soon in their relationship.
Well, we all know he likes to have things his way.
That's a bit like my friend Unlucky Gary, who went on a date with a bloke the other week. After the first date, this guy buys Gary a microwave. It's just too soon.
It is, isn't it?
Here's the thing.
It's more a wedding present.
I've never used a fax machine.
What?
I've never used a fax machine. I wouldn't know how.
It is a bit old school, isn't it?
Can I let you into a secret?
Is this how you used to message your pen pals?
I've been on Radio 1 so long, I actually remember giving out the fax number.
What is it?
I can't remember.
Oh, well, no, wow. It's still working. We should put that
so
to the
test.
So
how would it work? Would you have a fax machine in the studio?
No, Chris. It was in the office and no one could ever find it.
Imagine that going off in the background when you got the mic. There's a fax coming in.
I used to think that's how they used to do the top 40 when I used to listen to the chart.
Yeah, exactly the same, yeah.
JK and Joel would be there getting a fax.
And the number one is?
Coming in as it's happening.
So do we think there's a fax machine still at Radio 1 somewhere?
Probably.
As in it's just never used anymore.
I've just had it confirmed. There's one in Newsbeat.
Whoa.
I know.
News, yeah, of course.
But did Evans and Halliwell break up over a fax machine?
I didn't even know he went out with her.
No. Yeah, that happened.
He likes his pop stars. I think no real.
I'm going to go real on this one.
That one is no real.
I do seem to remember something, hearing a story like that, but we can't confirm whether it's real. I just liked it.
It might be real then.
We're saying no real.
For now.
What about this?
Radio 1's Lord of the Dance, Danny Howard, never uses the same suitcase twice.
What? Is it like a Danny Howard themed reel?
That's
on a reel
how he
this
rolls.
Week?
Yeah, man. The money's just starting to come in.
I always have this thing where I try not to wear the same T-shirt at the same club that I've played before. Because
God, what a challenge.
No, it's true, because
it's
hard, a bit awkward.
It,
no, it's true. No, but I mean, it's true, because like, if I like to take photos at the gigs, yeah. And when I look back, there's no differentiation, is there?
That's right, and you can't wear it twice.
You can't wear it twice.
But does Danny Howard have disposable luggage, just uses it, flies to Ibiza, gets off the orange plane and chucks it away?
I don't think he has, but I think he's got a well-rehearsed routine now. As in, he knows how to pack his bag properly, so to speak.
I bet you roll rather than fold.
Well, I can do hand luggage. I can do a week on hand luggage, which is quite impressive, I think.
Very impressive.
Tomorrow, for example, I'm going to Ibiza and then coming back Sunday, and I've already got my clothes in Ibiza ready, so that I don't have to carry much luggage with me tonight.
And I bet
tomorrow night.
I bet all your toiletries are 100 mil or less, aren't they?
Always.
Yeah, they are.
Yep, they are.
Have you got roll-on deodorant?
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it?
It has to be. No sprays. No sprays for you. Just the roll-on. Real or no real? Danny Howard's disposable luggage.
No real.
Do you want me to answer? No real.
That one is no real.
Yeah, made it up. And finally, what about this? Real or no real?
Last week alone, Reef's 1996 song, Place Your Hands, sold 1,191 copies.
I remember that being a drink.
Reef, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're not familiar, I think most people are, this is the song.
Oh, bless your hands!
Sold over 1,000 copies last week.
Why? It's one of those, like, you don't know the name of it, but you know the song.
Mm. Yeah.
Is it in an advert or something?
I don't think so, no.
It's a bit random all of a sudden to start buying that. Like, there's a rush on.
But it is one of those songs that, like, you could play it at a wedding, couldn't you? You could still play it at a
student gig,
night.
Easy,
student,
yeah.
Night. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Danny, would you give that a whirl?
I've not recently, no.
Are you allowed to play anything except dance music on a night?
Yeah,
is that
for
a silly question?
No, it depends where
I'm
playing.
Do you feel like you're restricted?
In certain clubs, people expect to play a certain style of music, yes. But, for example, a student gig,
yeah,
they'll dance to anything, won't they?
And do you sometimes want to put on a remix like that brilliant Rixton one we played a minute ago?
I've not played that particular one.
Pop, you know.
Well, if there was a remix of this song, then maybe.
Right,
but no, okay. I'm not.
So, Place Your Hands by Reef, has it sold over 1,000 copies in the last week?
I don't know why it would, but this is a weird one to make up. If not, so I'm going to say real.
I am also going to say real.
That one is real.
Yeah.
There is actually a Twitter called @placeyourhands, and it gives you an update on how many copies it sold this week.
What's it on now?
Place Your Hands update. Last week, the Reef Classic sold 528 copies, a 55% Jop from the week before. I think they do deals on it on fruit-based websites, so you can get it quite cheap. And at the end of that round of Real or No Real. Oh,
Danny, you've done so well today. I got 30, you got 40.
Those were the maximum lols that we had on Friday. Join us between 1 and 4 on BBC Radio 1, Monday afternoon. Or if you can't listen live, then get this podcast.
My name is Scott Mills. BBC Radio 1.